And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky live from Lucas Oil Stadium here at the NFL Scouting Combine. Buck, what's up, man?
Man, it's been a busy day. We had a great opportunity to talk to a bunch of decision makers about some general philosophies and team-specific things. And then just meeting people. This is the big convention. This is when everyone has an opportunity to see everybody. So you catch up with old friends while also talking about the 2018 class.
Yeah, the Scouting Combine, just to give you a peek behind the curtain here, we've been interviewing general managers around the league today. We're going to do more of that tomorrow. Be on the lookout for that audio. But then, you know, randomly just run into John Gruden, have a conversation with him for 10 minutes, welcome him back to the NFL, and you never know who you're going to run into. I saw Coughlin this morning, talked to Dave Caldwell for a little bit. So just running around in the halls down here in Indy, you get to catch up with some old friends.
Well, yeah, that's a great deal. I had an opportunity to talk to Steve Wilks. Got a chance to also see John Gruden. So this is the place to be. If you're in the football world, this is where you need to be.
Yeah, it's really a fun event. I enjoy the Scouting Combine. Some scouts hate it, by the way. They hate it.
Maybe because they're interviewing all night. Maybe they're staying up to 11 o'clock. Maybe they're interviewing guys. They get tired of that.
They get nervous. I think they really get nervous. So think back, man.
Oh, well, I guess if we go back.
Big grades and you're waiting here going like, please don't run slow.
There are a couple times when the anxiety strikes. The anxiety strikes when you're in the office and you're having the pre-draft meetings and they put the film on and it may be the highlight tape or we're going to watch a couple games and you've given a good grade. So everyone knows that you have a big grade on them. So maybe you feel a little naked.
The eyes go to you once they
work
out.
And it may be a game that you haven't watched.
Yep.
It may be a late game that you haven't had a chance to check out. That is when some anxiety kicks. And then when they work out here at the combine, guys that you have a big grade on, you're down there. You're like, boy, you better run fast
because if I give you a big grade, think about it.
Yeah, you better run fast because I don't want to have to deal with it.
All right. We're going to get going here in just a minute and go through the defensive side of the ball, preview the defense here for the Scouting Combine. In the last episode, we went through the entire offense. So if you didn't catch that episode, go back, listen to that one. There's some good nuggets in there, what to look for here with the offensive players. Today, we'll jump in to the defensive side of the ball. But two pieces of business I want to take care of before we get there. Sam Darnold not throwing that decision. We'll get there in just a second. But I want to lay out the game for the folks at home to watch the Combine. I feel like I've done this in the past, but I feel like it's worth bringing back.
Okay, bring it back.
So this is what we do on the personnel side when you're sitting in there, timing 40s, you're all together. So you need to – there needs nothing on the line. No, I'm not talking money. This is just a pride thing here. Just get the scorecard out. So you take turns. So if you're a group of friends, like four or five of you sitting here watching the comments,
yes.
Maybe in your college dorm watching
yep.
it. So you take turns setting the number of what they're going to run.
Over under.
So you just put the line out there. Again, we're not advocating gambling here. This is
over
just
under.
This is just a fun game to play with your buddies.
Over
so
under.
Hey, first guy up. Let's say Denzel Ward is going to run. I'm going to set the line at 4.38.
Ooh.
That's the conversations that you get.
I'm going to take over.
Okay, I'm going to take the under.
I'm going to take over.
They say he's the most explosive athlete they've ever had.
Man, that's a low number though.
See, this is the kind of fun you can have.
Low number.
So you do this. You keep score throughout the whole day.
It's like the Price is Right.
Yeah, you don't want to go.
Don't want to go over.
Don't want to bust. Yeah.
Don't want to bust.
So you take turns setting that number, go down the line, and everybody kind of gets on one side or the other. It makes watching the combine more fun.
Now, is that the only thing we're doing? We're only doing it with 40s? We're not doing it with anything else?
Well, guys do it with bench. I don't care
about
bench.
Do
you?
No, I don't care about that.
No, other people can do it with that. Verticals,
yeah. Yeah, okay, 40. 40 is a marquee. 40 is a marquee event.
We'll see on the vertical numbers, too, because there's inside the scouting community. We've always talked about how you can tell when you get a new guy doing the verts. Because you'll go from a year – like there'll be one year where you'll have 25 guys jumping over 42 inches. And like, who's doing the verts?
New guy on the vert, doesn't know how to measure, got the stick wrong. The Vertimax is giving him a problem.
Yeah. There you go. So, that's a fun game for you to play if you're at home watching the combine. Sam Darnold not throwing thoughts.
I think the reason Sam Darnold isn't throwing is because this probably isn't the strength of his game when it comes to showcasing his talents. If you go and put Sam Darnold in the same line with Josh Allen, Josh Rosen, some of the other guys that are going to throw, he may not look like the best guy in the class. And so if you're going to you want to put yourself in the best position, you avoid it. Come back, throw out your pro day when the stage is all yours. I know some people make a big stink about it initially. But by the time he gets to his pro day, I think it's what, March 21st?
Yeah.
It won't be much of an issue at all.
Here's the weird thing. I wish he would throw. I wish I could get him out here on the same field and watch him throw with all these guys. But I'm glad you mentioned the thing about Josh Allen because I mentioned it on the pod previously. I went down there and watched him throw with Josh. They've been training together and working out together. I actually thought while Josh has a stronger arm, Sam was more consistent with how he threw the ball. It was a windy day. He's got plenty of arm strength. I really don't think he's trying to hide anything. I mean, I saw him throw it. If he did out here indoors what I saw him do outdoors in San Clemente 2 weeks ago, it would be fine. So I think this is just a choice where he wants to throw with his guys. And you look at some other guys that have done that historically. There's, you know, like, we've got plenty of guys go number one overall. Recently we've seen everybody throw, so it's different.
There are also some guys who, like, I don't know the number of guys from SC that may not have combine invites. Sometimes the star of the program will make everyone come onto campus to give his buddies an opportunity to showcase their skills. Maybe there's something of that into play. But I don't know. I think it's much ado about nothing. I think the big thing for Sam Darnold won't even be what happens on the turf. Will be really behind the scenes. How does he interview? Does he have a personality?
Does he have a presence?
Will it resonate in the locker room? How do you feel about his football IQ and what he's been asked to do at SC versus what you would like him to do at your team? He has a lot of work to do without even performing on the turf. This will give him an opportunity really to focus on that part of it. He aces that test, then he can reset and try and focus on acing the test at the pro day.
All right, let's combine the two things we just talked about, setting the line and Sam Darnold. He's going to do the physical testing. So 40, give me the number.
475.
I was going to go 478.
Oh,
475. I'm gonna go slightly over. I think it's good. I think anything under 4.8 to the quarterback is good.
Yeah,
477.
Well, because I'm thinking he was a linebacker in high school for a little bit, kind of reared that way. I think he's athletic, but I think his athleticism is more short area athleticism, not necessarily long range speed. That's what I'm thinking. 475.
I'm gonna go 478. I'll say he jumps 32. Let me see. I don't want to do the broad. I have no clue. I'm looking at just explosive numbers there. Yeah, what do you think?
Normally a broad jump like that, that'd probably be like a 9.5 or so broad jump.
Go 9.5? Yeah. Okay, this is the official Move the Sticks line here for Sam Darnold. 4.78, 32 on the vertical, 9.5 broad.
I have no idea what his shuttles.
Yeah, the short shuttles, I'm not going to venture into that world. I think I'm actually pretty good, though. He's a good athlete. So, anyways, Sam Darnold not throwing. I don't think it's the end of the world. Would I like to see him throw? Absolutely. And I think teams will grill him. Having been in that room, Buck, you know what's coming, right? What's the first? Here it is. Let's role play here for a second. Here's the interview with Sam Darnold. This will happen. I've seen it happen a million times in the room. This will happen. Sam, people say you're competitive. How would you rate your competitiveness on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, it's a 10. It's off the charts. I love to compete. I die. I live and die by competing. I want to do everything. I'm the most competitive guy on the field. You won't find a more competitive guy than me.
Then why are you scared to throw?
I'm not scared to throw. I just prefer to be in my own environment.
You just told me how competitive you are. Now, there's a bunch of quarterbacks going to be on that field. You want to go compete with them?
Oh, no, we're not competing. Everyone is on their own individual mat. I learned from yoga that I don't have to worry about what others do. If I just do what I do and focus on me, I'm going to be fine. So they're not competing. They're throwing. They're having an exhibition. I will have my exhibition on my pro day.
So what's wrong with you?
Oh, no, I feel great. I'm just working. I'm just trying to
– Your arm tone sore? Up. Arm sore?
Arm feels great. Footwork, I'm working with my coach. We're working on throwing on a balanced platform so I can be a little more consistent. We've almost got it put together, but a couple more weeks, I'm going to feel great about it.
So when we're playing in December trying to get a playoff spot and all of a sudden, you know what, the weather's a little bad, you're a little bit beat up, you're going to come in and tell us that you're not going to compete because it just doesn't feel right? Is that what you're going to
tell me? Oh, no, because it's football time of year. I've gone through the process of training camp and – going through a handful of regular season games, I feel like I'll be good to go in that situation. But just like that, it is all about preparation. So right now I'm trusting my preparation in the process, have a good coach working with me, setting me up to have a –
Did you order the code red?
You're kind of starting right, I did.
That's what goes on in those interview rooms. I've seen guys come in there, no lie, the 15-minute interview, started the interview, what are you going to run tomorrow? Sorry, sir. I know I'm not going to run tomorrow. By the end of the 15-minute interview,
they're working out.
They're running.
They're working out.
They're running.
Put a little peer pressure on them.
So it'll come. He'll get that. We'll see if he sticks to his guns there and sits that one out. All right, let's get to the defensive preview here, Buck. What do you say?
Let's get to it.
All right, defensive tackles. We'll kind of go through the same format that we did on the offensive side of the ball. Go by position. Ask a couple questions here. Let's start. Most intriguing player in the defensive tackle group for you. Looking forward to watching.
I am looking forward to watching. Look, it'll be easy for me to say Vita Vey, but I want to say Harrison Phillips. And the reason I want to look at Harrison Phillips, I want to see how athletic he is. I think he is a perfect interior player. I think he's really built to be a one technique. Maybe he has some athleticism to play the three. I want to see what the movement skills look like. I know he's strong as an ox. I know he's tough to move off the ball. He's competitive as all get out. I just need to see the movement skills. I want to see how he performs when he has an opportunity to move around and show the change of direction quickness.
I'm always looking at underclassmen, guys that I didn't get a chance to see during the fall, the guys that I've watched on tape, but I want to see how they move around. I've heard that there's going to be some freaky stuff from Tim Settle from Virginia Tech.
Oh, yeah.
Let's see what he does. He is a big dude, listed at 6'3", 335 pounds. Big guys running fast. We've talked about it with Vita Vea from Washington. That's everybody's expectation. I think Tim Settle, I don't have a huge, huge grade on him coming into this process. I think I've done two games on him, so plenty more to do. I have him in the third round range. Let's see if Tim Settle from Virginia Tech, what he does, if he can move up a little bit.
I mean, he should have an opportunity. Another guy, Derek Nandy from Florida
you
State.
Love, you, that's your secretly,
like him,
that's your
I
guy,
like
man.
Him. I really like him. I liked him as a player. I think he has some ability. I just want to see what he looks like when he moves around. 6'1", 299, isn't necessarily sexy, but I want to see what it looks like when he's moving around.
We need Selly to get a drop in there where he can do a your guy. Because that I think this Florida State DT, Derek Nandy's your guy.
Yeah, he might be my guy. I mean, a little man crush on him.
Same way with Edmonds and you. I mean, that we could.
Yeah,
we could,
we're all in on Virginia. This is like a Virginia Tech podcast. Talk about Tim Settle
Hokey,
before
Hokey,
that.
Hokey, Hokey
yeah, I mean, they have it going on up in Virginia Tech.
All right, let's go to defensive tackle. Under the radar, maybe a guy that's a little bit under the radar on this list you're looking forward to?
Well, I think the guy who doesn't get enough talk or discussion conversation is Rasheem Green from USC. This is a big-time player. He's someone who has the ability to kind of play that 3-4 defensive end.
Yep.
He can kick inside and play defense tackle in a 4-3 scheme. I like his size. I like his length. When he's revved up and ready to go, he shows some dominant potential. Let's see what that athleticism looks like compared to the rest of the guys on the board.
He's going to win the weigh-ins. He is body beautiful, man. He is put together. He is a long, athletic dude. I'm with you. I think playing inside, especially you watch him against Ohio State and Notre Dame, he got banged around in there a little bit. I think he'll benefit from kicking out to end, even if he's like a 3-4 end, be that 5 technique there over the tackle. I also was told on him he played the whole year with a high ankle sprain. So what you saw this year wasn't his true effort. I need to go back, circle back, and watch some of him the previous year. That's one of my projects here after the combine's over. But that's definitely a good name. One that's, what do we say? Are we going under the radar? Is that what we have?
Under the radar, that's rare.
Under the radar. Okay, next one for me, under the radar. Real quick, Nathan Shepard from Fort Hays State. You know I like these small school guys. He was great at the Senior Bowl before he got hurt. Just under 6'4", 305 pounds. I think he'll run right around 5 flat. Which is moving. He's a dominating player on tape. The level of competition, obviously, is a concern, but showed up at the Senior Bowl before he got injured, did really well there. So he'd be my under-the-radar guy. I skipped, though, Buck. Who needs to have a big week?
Big week. At this position, like, look, the top five are pretty secure. Vita Vea, Mo Hurst, Deron Payne, Tim O'Brien. There's a guy that was maybe the best high school prospect coming out. His name was Deshaun Hand from Alabama.
Ooh, there you go.
He was like a 5-star player coming out. We thought that he was going to light the college football world on fire. He didn't necessarily play to those expectations, but anytime you're a 5-star recruit, you have his kind of athleticism, his frame, he can kind of change the narrative with a good week this week. Maybe people can see that maybe he did underachieve a little bit at Alabama, but he offers more as a pro. Deshaun Hand is someone that I'm very, very intrigued about. I think he has to have a big week.
My App State guard that was at the Senior Bowl is still blocking him, by the way. Hasn't stopped. My who needs to have a big week? Whew. Definitely some interesting names to choose from here. I will go let's go Taven Bryan, because I've heard again about the athleticism and what the expectation is for the numbers. I think he's got to match that with what the expectation is from Florida. Super explosive on tape. Wish he a little bit more instinctive it could find the football, but
yeah. The athleticism is
very athletic.
He has the frame. He has the size. He has the length that you look for. So, yeah, see him if he can find the ball and is instinctive enough to really disrupt at the point of attack.
Yeah, big week for him. Let's go a defensive end. I guess we could throw edge rusher on here as well. Defensive end that we're looking forward to watching this week. What's our first topic here? Most intriguing of the defensive ends when you look at this group here, Buck? What do you think?
Well, I'm most intrigued by you talking about my guy. My guy is going to be Sam Hubbard from Ohio State.
That's your guy.
And the reason I'm intrigued by his background. I'm intrigued by his athleticism and his length. I think he is going to be the guy that we're buzzing about when we come out of the combine. I don't think enough people have paid close enough attention to his game. In a draft where we don't have a number of established pass rushers that are legit first-round picks, I think he can sneak his way into the bottom of the first round with a really, really good performance.
That's a good one. I'm a Sam fan. I'm going to go, though. You wouldn't do it because it's NC State and you'll
never
say anything nice about him.
Never.
Kentavious Street from NC State.
He's an athletic freak.
He's going to put on a show. He's going to be 280-plus pounds, and he might run in the 4.6s, which is Aaron Donald-type territory. So keep an eye on him. He's played outside. He's played inside. Not the tallest guy, 6.022, 285 pounds. But I have him kind of in that third-round range. I think if he does what everybody's saying he's going to do out here, you can see the buzz start to build on him. Had a really good week down there at the East-West. At the East-West game. This NC State defensive line, by the way. Goodness gracious.
It's amazing how they all ended up at one spot at one time.
Wow, you sound a little bit skeptical there. Everything's on the up and up.
It's just unbelievable that NC State can have all those guys as if they produce a bunch of defensive linemen year after year.
And you know what? You have the moral high ground as a Tar Heel to talk about potential violations.
I'm just saying.
All right, let's go to the next one here. Who needs to have a big week?
Chad Thomas, Miami.
Okay.
Chad Thomas needs
the producer.
Chad Thomas needs to have a big week because there's some intrigue and some fascination about his potential. He's not viewed as a early round pick. He's somewhere in that day two category. Can he flash enough athleticism to make people believe that he can be more than what he was at Miami? Like the length, like the size. Want to see some more of the stuff that you would like to see on tape, but good athletic performance. In a draft where we don't have a lot of blue chip players at the position, could help his status.
And big dude too, 6'5", almost 280 pounds. I compared him to Jared Odrick when he was coming out of Penn State. I think Odrick ended up going in the first round, second round.
He might have.
I don't think this kid's going that high, but he's as a player reminds me of him. I think 3-4 teams are going to like him a lot. To me, player needs to have a big week on the field and off the field. Let's go Arden Key from LSU.
Absolutely.
Disappointment, major disappointment this year. See what his weight checks in at. I thought he was a little bit heavy and lethargic because of it last year. Have to get the answers to why he left LSU and missed that whole spring semester, what the off-the-field stuff is. So, big week for him both on and off the field. Under the radar player, Buck?
It's tough because this is a really good class, so many guys. But I will say Taquan Lewis from Ohio State. And the reason is I don't think he is a dominant pass rusher, but I think he is – a bull in a china shop player that is going to get 6 to 8 sacks each year just because of his effort. You talk about a talented Ohio State line, one that Greg Schiano said was more talented than his Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive lines. And I think there's some validity to that. He was the leader of that D-line group. He has some ability. He's a power player. And when you look at his size, 6'3", 272, you wonder if power players like that can hold up. But he has a nice game. He's solid. He's a blue-collar worker. To me, he's really under the radar.
Yeah, I'm going to go with his teammate there, Jalen Holmes. I have the same grade on these guys. Jalen Holmes a little bit taller, 7 pounds heavier. They both are very similar. They move him up and down the line of scrimmage.
Up and down.
They're versatile, and the thing I love about them, they play so hard. Larry Johnson, by the way, one heck of a D-line coach,
man,
the way he developed these guys.
Nice gift from Ohio State to pull Johnson a few years ago from Penn State. He has helped that defensive line. You talk about the talent that they have. Shoot, Ohio State is just rolling them out.
All right, we got the DN edge. Let's go to linebackers here. I don't know if it's a really, really deep group of linebackers, but a handful of dudes I'm really high on. How about let's start most intriguing player in this linebacker group?
Oof. So many guys. So many guys. How about Lorenzo Carter from Georgia?
Ooh, I like the Lorenzo Carter.
Intriguing because of the length, the athleticism, and what people expect him to do at this event. You've heard people talk about him as high as maybe sneaking into the first round, but somewhere in day two appears to be his sweet spot. Like the way he plays, like the way he played in the run-up to the playoffs throughout the season, he has a chance. He needs to put together a nice performance and continue to intrigue in his direction.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of his. I did him after I came out with my top 50. He more than likely will be in my next update here after the combine in my top 50 list. I'm a big fan of Lorenzo Carter. To me, though, I'm going to go with my guy.
Yeah.
Darius Leonard from South Carolina State. Look, I did him again after that first list came out. He will be in my top 50. He reminds me so much of Telvin Smith. He can be 230 pounds, low 230s here, 6'2". I think he's going to run. I wouldn't be shocked if he ran under 4.6. He moves like that. And the rotational game, in an all-star game, a Senior Bowl, to have 14 tackles, especially crazy, coming from South Carolina State.
Crazy. He played hard.
He is a good football player.
He was giving it up. He did everything. And you like those. And for small school guys, South Carolina State, it's very, very important that you see the production in those games when they're matched up with guys that come from bigger school. The fact that he was able to put that on tape, he's able to check off a box. If he comes here and performs like we think he may perform, just another feather in his cap.
Who needs to have a big week?
I think Harold Landry needs to have a big week. And the reason Harold Landry needs to have a big week, he had a big 2016 campaign. 16.5 sacks, was all over the quarterback, in the backfield, very disruptive. Didn't have a similar kind of season this year, and he was hurt. People want to see which guy's going to show up when you get him to an NFL camp. Is it going to be the Harold Landry from 17 or Harold Landry from 16? Because the one from 16 has some special qualities, has the potential to be a dominant pass rusher. I want to see what does the athleticism look like. Is he athletic enough to be an elite player?
Yeah, undersized at just under 6'2", 248 pounds. So let's see what his weight comes in at here. And let's see if he can really bend and wrap, because that's what he's got to do at his size to be successful as an edge rusher at the next level. I'm going to go with the guy. I don't know, we've said his name one time, Malik Jefferson from Texas.
Yep.
Who is explosive as all get out. He's going to be 6'3"-ish, 240-plus pounds. He can fly when you watch him at Texas. He's a little bit tight, and I didn't think his instincts were great. A little bit inconsistent from game to game when you watch him. But, man, when he sees it and goes, Buck, he is explosive.
I think the big thing for him is going to be scheme fit wherever he goes. Is there a defense coordinator that understands how to put him in a position where he can make plays? At Texas, he bounced around, played everywhere. I think once he settles in and is able to kind of master one spot, I think you'll see the best Malik Jefferson that we've seen.
My comp for him, by the way, Devondre Campbell, who's been a good player there for the Atlanta Falcons. Under the radar guy in this linebacker group?
Under the radar. Let's see. Man, Josie Jewell.
I knew you could not. There's no your guy. There's no way you could have made this whole linebacker segment without dropping Josie Jewell.
Yeah, come on. Josie Jewell. I like players that are productive. I like productive players.
All right. Here's a question. You go into a restaurant. You sit down. And two guys walk in, but it's a two-seat table you're at, and it's Josie Jewell and it's Derek Nnamdi, and they both want to sit down and have dinner with you. Who do you let sit down?
I'm going to go with Josie Jewell because he's
trick
a communicator.
Question. Trick
he's,
question.
He's a communicator.
Trick
he's
question.
A traffic cop.
Bucky gets up and gives up his chair and lets them both sit down to have
dinner.
Hey, you
dinner know what,
together.
Guys?
That's
this
love.
Is on
sacrificial
me.
Love.
Here's my credit card. Y'all enjoy
yes,
yourselves.
Yes, that's what you would do.
Yeah,
let's meet
up
afterwards.
It's on DJ. It's on the Mood of Six account.
Back up Bucky on this one. All the players that we've talked to, a lot of them have said Josie Jewell is the toughest dude that they played against.
Oh, come on. Guy's a good player.
Four or five at least.
I like Josie Jewell. I like Josie Jewell. I like Josie like third-ish, maybe fourth-ish.
Third-ish round?
Yes.
Come on, man.
You going to go? What, you going second round?
Two-time All-American.
I don't care about
that. Oh, we're
careful
All-American. I like his attack the machine.
Do you remember when you used to come at me on Wentz? He wasn't even first-team All-Conference. You remember when you hit me on that? Like, Buck.
Oh, man.
Buck.
I was playing the role.
That was hashtag Goff Wentz. It turned out good for both of them.
I said
he tried to hit me over the head with an all-league team.
I said he wasn't All-Conference.
I was like, hold up.
I said he wasn't All-Conference.
I can't let that go.
He wasn't first-team All-Conference.
Yeah. Well, hold on. He was like the Southland. He's not first team all. I'm just saying he's not first team all Southland Conference. I'm not saying anything. I'm not what he can or can't do.
But you're right. You're right, though. We need to get money on that drop. Money.
Yeah, money could do that.
Yeah.
Let's get
your
money.
Your guy.
That's Josie Jewell. Productive. I like production. I like production. I like the instincts. He's not going to be the best athlete, but I think in the right system, if he's playing behind a dominant defensive tackle, he's going to clean up.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. A guy that I think is going to generate a lot of buzz coming out of here, so I'll say he's a little bit under the radar. Teray from Rutgers.
Oh, I didn't think that. You know what I thought? I thought you were going Leighton Vander Esch.
Well, he's been talked about so much.
Oh, okay.
Mayock went all in, too. He's my 40th overall player coming to the combine. He's only going to go up from there.
He did go all
in. Mike loves him. He is. I think he's a better version of Zach Cunningham. I like him a lot. But Tremaine Edmonds, that's a different cat now. That's Anthony Barr 2.0.
That's a different bird.
Fun to watch those big guys work out there. All right, let's move on here. What's the next position? We got corners. Let's get to some corners.
Ooh, this is a fun class.
Most intriguing corner at the combine is who?
Most intriguing is Josh Jackson from Iowa. Okay. The reason I'm intrigued, he checks off so many boxes. He has length. He has production. The only thing that I don't know about him is how fast is he.
I'm hearing he's going to run fast.
You know, and so if he's fast, It's a game changer.
Does he have it? Look, I'm a big fan of his, but right now I have Denzel Ward, Ohio State, Mike Hughes ahead of him. So he's the third corner. If he gets out here and runs low 4.4,
I think he can pass Mike Hughes. I don't think he can pass Denzel Ward, especially if Denzel Ward runs
what if
Denzel's
5.9? I think Denzel Ward might check in at 5.9.
Now, if he checks in at 5.9, then he's going to have a problem. To find a guy that is over 6 foot that can run and cover and has ball skills,
yeah,
that's hard to find. We think about the Marcus Peters, and I'm looking at the Kansas City Chiefs needing a number one corner. Josh Jackson would be a nice fit
well,
in a system
runs,
like
if
that.
If he runs low
off.
4.4, he ain't going to be there.
Oh, no, he'd be all gone.
Yeah.
He'd be all gone. But Josh Jackson is a really good player. I'm intrigued by him. It comes down to the testing.
I'll be interesting to see. That's a good name there. Big Josh Jackson fan. I'll say most intriguing for me. Ooh, a lot to choose from here. I'm going to go Jair Alexander just because, A, I don't know how big he is. He's somebody that when you watch him on tape, feisty, tough, aggressive.
He is an energizer bunny.
He is. He is a good football player. So I'm anxious to see how he tests, how he moves around out there. I have him, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4. He's my fifth corner, but I have him as a first-round guy. He's somebody I'm looking forward to. Very intrigued by him.
Very intriguing. He plays hard. He tackles on the edge. He's a bit of an ankle biter, but he's tough. Has a lot of swag. And so we'll see if he can put it together. But the ball skills, the toughness, and I think some versatility, he has an opportunity to be a first-round pick.
Who needs to have a big week in these corners?
So many guys, because it comes down to the speed. But here's what I will say and why he needs to have a big week. Dante Jackson is going to blow up the combine from an athletic standpoint. He's going to test off the charts. He's going to put all kinds of stuff. But at the end of the day, does the testing match the production and performance on the field? I want to see, can he backpedal? Can he catch the ball? Does he have traits that will allow him to carry over more than just an explosive athlete, but will allow him to be a really, really good player? I think his teammate is a better player in Kevin Tolliver, but this guy is going to test better. It's going to change the perception on what he should be and where he should be drafted.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. I went back, and we talked about this before. I compared him a little bit to Adoree Jackson and that he's raw. I thought this year, kind of weird how they played him. 10 yards off in the slot. It's kind of a no-man's land. You're sitting there in the middle of the field with two-way goes every single
all
snap.
All day. Toughest position.
Not a good spot to be in. You go back and look at him the year before, he got to play nose-to-nose. I thought he was a feisty kid. So he is going to test track guy. He might be the fastest guy out here.
Yep.
Go under 4.3 potentially. I'm going to go Carlton Davis from Auburn. There's guys you watch and you go through 3-4 games, and I'll be honest with you, Buck. I parked him in the third round. I do not have a good feel for him. One game to the next, you don't know exactly what you're going to get.
Does he make a play? Does he show up?
So, yeah, I mean, I've seen him take a wide receiver and run him straight into the bench. Like, he flashes that type of physicality. And then I see him just kind of go away and disappear, get caught out of position. So, he's one I'm looking forward to see what he does. I think he needs to have a big week. Under the radar in this corner group, anybody?
Quinn Meeks from Stanford. Quinn Meeks is the son of a coach. His dad, Ron Meeks, was a longtime defensive back coach and D coordinator in the league. His football IQ is off the charts. He makes some plays at Stanford, but he just kind of has fallen through the cracks in this draft class, because I think this draft class, when it comes to cornerback, maybe not at the top, but the depth that we have kind of from 15 to 55 in terms of picks, I think we could see a run on corners where we see a lot of starting corners go in the second and third round. Quinn Meeks, to me, strikes me as one of those guys that can emerge from that status and be a solid starter.
Yeah, look, he's, to me, one problem with him, Buck, he's on the ground, which for a corner, you don't see that very often.
Nah, the last guy that I remember.
He stumbles and is on the ground a little too much.
You know who was like that for me? Gary Baxter. You remember Gary Baxter?
I was in Baltimore with Gary Baxter.
Gary Baxter, to me, every time we watch his cut-up time, I'm like, man, this guy is always
stiff
on the ground. He was just
huge corner. And we played him at safety,
big.
Too. So he went back and forth from corner to
he
safety.
He was big. And see, Quinn Meeks, 6'2", 197.
Big dude. He might need to play some safety. But, man, he's on the ground all the time. That was my hookup or my hang-up there with him. What was this one? This is Under the Radar?
Under the Radar.
That was your Under the Radar guy? Under the Radar for me, let's see here. A couple different ways I could go here. Where do I want to go with this one? Under the Radar?
Come on.
Man, a lot of different options. I'm going to say slightly under the radar, even though I have a big grade on my Zay Oliver.
Ooh.
I went and watched him run. He's going to run low 4.4s. Decathlete there at Colorado. When you do that, you're an athlete.
Yeah, great background. Super athletic. Man, to be able to do 10 different events in track speaks volumes.
I asked him if he was scared when he did the pole vault the first time.
I'll be a little weirded out by the pole vault.
Yeah.
That's not really
an acquired taste. He said he ended up loving it, though, once he got the hang of it. He said once you see one of those things snap, though, that'll freak you out a little bit.
That would freak me out. The other guy that I would put on as an under-the-radar guy, Tavares McFadden.
Yeah.
Because in the summer when I looked at Tavares McFadden, I thought he had a chance to be a really good player. Fell completely off the cliff this year. I want to see which guy shows up. Which guy shows up at the combine. How big is he? How fast is he? He had 8 picks a season ago. None this year. What am I getting? What am I getting from the Florida State?
Trying to remember the game. I think it was Alabama. I think it was Ridley. It was a speedboat and a canoe.
Yeah,
it was not a fair fight, Buck.
Maybe he lost some weight. Maybe he got down. I just want to see.
Lighten up and run. All right, let's go here. What do we got next? We got safeties.
So intriguing safety group. Absolutely.
All right, safeties. We are going most intriguing safety prospect at the combine. Who you got?
Derwin James. Derwin James is most intriguing because I had a big grade on him heading into the year. I expect him to be a top 5 player. They didn't play well. The whole team crashed and burned. Jimbo Fisher kind of left him high and dry, went on his way. The defense didn't respond. Derwin James showed flashes, but we didn't see the consistent dominance that we expected. But here he gets a chance to hit the reset button. And the reason he gets to hit the reset button because when they see this big fella walk out, 6'3", 220-plus pounds, he may run into 4.4s. He's going to jump over 40. When he starts to put those kind of things on display, I think you may start hearing the whispers in the crowd like, well, you know, maybe, you know, the team didn't play well. Maybe it's not so bad. I think he has an opportunity to kind of skyrocket up the charts with a big workout.
Yeah, look, he's fun to watch. Just watch him run sideline to sideline.
Big, fast, and physical.
When he sucked up Lamar Jackson, I was like, yep, he has got some juice. So he's going to run really fast. He'll test really well. That's a good one for an intriguing player. I'm going to go my guy, Jesse Bates from Wake Forest.
Oh, your guy.
I'm a big fan.
Man, 3 weeks you've been on him.
Yeah, no, he will definitely be in, unless he just completely wets the bed, he will be in the top 50 once we do the next update. He is a good player. Anxious to see how much he weighs because he's listed at 195. Is he over 200 pounds? He's listed at 6'2". He's tall, looks long. He can run. He is fluid. He can cover. I liken to the fact that he can line him up if you wanted to. I think he could hold up in the slot. I think he could hold up outside at corner even if he wanted to. Baseball background, ball skills outstanding. Does have some missed tackles, but he gets to a lot of tackles. So the production is pretty good as well. He's my intriguing safety to watch. How about let's get to the next topic. We've got who needs to have a big week in these safeties.
Marcus Allen from Penn State needs to have a big week. Wasn't overly impressed with him at the Senior Bowl, but I like the size. You see guys over 6'2", 205 pounds. You want to know how fast is he? And then you want to see, can you envision a role for him at the next level? I didn't think the cover skills were great at the Senior Bowl. You don't see him do a lot when it comes in the box in terms of being able to be a thumper. What is his best position? So how I'm able to evaluate his athleticism, his turns and transitions, and then finally the athletic portion of it, will determine where I kind of sit him and position him on the board.
Well, that's a good one. I still have more work to do. I haven't finished him up yet, so he's one I got to a little homework left to do. My guy needs to have a big week. I'm going to say Justin Reed from Stanford needs to have a big week. And I've, again, another one you're told is going to test really, really well, talking to the folks at Stanford. Obviously, the brother, Eric Reed, who had been with the 49ers for a long time, tested really well coming out of LSU. So very athletic. Ball skills are outstanding, Buck. Just missed tackles. How tough are you? There's a couple plays where I want to say as a tight end, I have to go back and look at my notes. He gets stiff armed and thrown in the ground. And it's just, that's, ugh.
Yeah.
You don't like seeing that. Don't like seeing that. So that's a little bit of the question mark there. But I think he's somebody who needs to have a good week out here. And I think he will. I think he'll test well. And I think you'll see him high point the ball and catch the ball really well.
That's the biggest part. When we're looking at these DBs, the takeaways. Can you generate takeaways? Ball skills will be coveted at a premium. How these guys go through drills, the gauntlet, the turn and run, catching the ball from various angles. They need to show ball skills to secure their status as top picks.
All right, last topic here, last position group. We have got under the radar in this safety group. Keep an eye on this guy, maybe a little bit under the radar.
Quinn Blanding, Virginia. Keep an eye on him because he's a communicator, known him for a long time. I understand his football IQ. See him at Virginia. You didn't get a full appreciation for what he can be. I think this guy is a very, very solid player. I think you stick him in the lineup, he's going to play for 10 years. I'm looking at him right now. He is probably a third, fourth-round player.
Yep.
As he continues to work out and show the length and the combination, I think he has an opportunity to move up.
Well, you're going to be a homer and go with an 8 with your ACC guy. I'm going to be a homer, and I'm going to go with the Sun Belt guy, Tracy Walker from Louisiana Lafayette. He's a good player. 6'1", 195. Thought he had a good week down at the East West. He's somebody that's silky smooth and athletic. Let's see. Hopefully put on a little bit of weight and be over 200 pounds here. He's a down-the-line guy. Probably his sixth round, but a good football player. We'll see what he does there. He's my under-the-radar guy. All right, overall, when we leave the combine, I think I know where you're going here based off your previous comments, but who will end up being the defensive MVP? Who's going to be the guy that everybody's buzzing about in the entire group?
The entire group, the entire day. Group,
defense, the whole couple days, 2 days, ooh. 2 days worth.
I think Derwin James is going to be the MVP.
I knew you were going there.
I think if I'm a bet on someone who's going to be a nice tester, a show pony.
Yeah.
He's a show pony. Win, play, show. I think Derwin James is going to be the guy we talk about again.
That's good. And one of the reasons why he's going to be that guy is height, weight, speed.
Yep.
How about Tremaine Edmonds, Virginia Tech, going to be 6'5"-ish, close
super
to 250
freak.
Pounds, going to run extremely fast. I mentioned the comparison to Anthony Barr. My favorite thing about the kid, he's 19 years old. 19 years old. He is just scratching the surface, just a young pup. There are a lot of kids entering college as 19-year-olds.
That's unbelievable.
This guy's going to be a top 10 pick as a
19-year-old playing. 19 years old in the
insane,
pros.
Insane. But I think he's going to be the guy we're all talking about. How about a player, might not be a workout warrior, not somebody that's going to have a big week here, but somebody you think is a good football player. Don't let that alarm you, and just be patient. He can play.
So many guys. It has to be a linebacker out here somewhere that I like. Has to be a linebacker. Let's find a linebacker.
Yeah, let's go to the linebacker group here and pluck one out of the pile here.
Pluck one out of the pile. I've already used my mulligan on that guy.
You're not going to go back to Jesse Joel?
I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to go back on Jesse Joel. How about this? How about Shaquem Griffin?
Oh, there we go.
How about Shaquem Griffin? And I don't know if he'll be an every down player, but what I do believe he can be, an outstanding special team standout. You put this guy as an L3 or R3 on your kickoff team, meaning he's playing right down the hash coming down, busting up the wedge even though they don't have the wedge anymore. You put him on your punt team. I think he's going to have an opportunity to make a ton of tackles. So I'm pulling for the guy. I think he's athletic. I think he's a good player. He's more than a feel-good story. I think he has a shot, and I'm looking forward to him getting a shot.
Yeah, I like that one. He's fun to watch. He's going to have a role, no question, on his team. I don't doubt that at all. Man, I'm having a tough time seeing a guy that might not work out well. I have to go to my D-tackle group here and see who I'm going to pluck out of this pile of these D-tackles.
Pull somebody out with a bad body.
I'm not going to go with your Nnamdi. I'm going to let you stick with him there.
You're not going to go with bad body?
Oof. I'm going to say Harrison Phillips. Because I don't know how good – we talked about what his testing numbers going to look like. Maybe they're not great. I just know what he is. I know exactly what I'm buying.
He's a good football player.
Yeah, he's a good player. So don't.
We talked about him being Kyle Williams. So that is.
Don't freak out.
Yeah, don't.
He can be fine. I think that's all we got here.
Is all we got. I would tell everybody, make sure you get all your film work done. Get your draft grades and all that in before the combine starts on Friday. Put the pencils down. Don't let the workouts.
PSA, public service announcement.
Don't let the workouts sway you.
Or a BSA, Brooks service announcement.
Yeah, don't let the workouts sway you too much. We see a lot of mess ups out here.
Here's what I'm going to say, Buck, on this whole thing with the combine. Allow yourself the 24-hour rule. Get excited. Look, this is fun. Guys run fast. They work out great. Give yourself 24 hours. Celebrate the heck out of that thing. And then just go back to your original grade. That's my rule.
Yeah, don't be swayed. Don't.
But you go out to dinner afterwards with your buddies. Oh, unbelievable.
You see my guy?
Did you see what he did?
See my guy? My guy jumped out the gym.
You think you're a little low on him, aren't you?
Yeah.
And then the next day you come back.
Watch the tape.
He's all right.
Watch the tape.
He's okay. That's it. Hey, we've got a bunch of combine. We've got a bunch of combine goodies coming your way with interviews with general managers. We already spoken with several of them. Got some more of those on the way. So we're going to package all that up. Be on the lookout for that content. Scouting stories. We got some humdingers. We had some great scouting stories last week. This one is this year's blows last year's stories out of the water. I can't wait for that. So
we got some good ones.
That's going to be fun.
We have a grizzly bear story.
Yeah, there's a bear. There's a bear involved. But that's all we're going to tell you. There's a bear involved. And not a mascot.
No.
A real freaking bear.
Real deal.
Yeah. So be on the lookout for those. Hey, thank you guys so much. I try and make a point of thanking you every week for this. The comments you leave us, the ratings you leave us on Apple Podcasts, those are a huge help. We do appreciate that. If you haven't listened to the Mike Vick episode, I'd encourage you to go back and listen to that one. Some great thoughts there on Lamar Jackson. We've got the 360 series that's going to be coming your way here soon, where we focus on the top prospects one at a time, and we go and talk to their high school coaches, college coaches, teammates, friends, cousins, You name it. We do the full workup on the individual players, so be on the lookout for that as well. Bucky, anything else you want to add before we get out of here?
No, get excited. Make sure you tune in for all the combine coverage, all the NFL Network, NFL.com, wherever you can see our stuff, make sure you're there. We have it covered.
Guys in shorts running fast. Don't miss it. NFL Scouting Combine 2018. This is Move the Sticks. DJ Bucky, we'll catch you next time.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to NFL.com/podcasts.